mother is the name for God in the hearts and on the lips of little children. Someone said one time, and I don't think they're entirely correct, but I understand their intent, God could not be everywhere, so he made mothers. I kind of changed it a little bit and said it basically, God could not always be seen everywhere, so he made mothers. God is always everywhere. One of the presidents of the United States famously said, all that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I'm sure many could repeat that. Someone else said, behind all of our stories is a mother's story, because that's where our story begins. And along the same line of thought, this was interesting to me. I'd never thought of it this way before. The moment a child is born, a mother is born also. Think about that. She's a woman, she's a female. She has a baby and she becomes a mother. Motherhood, wonderful, wonderful thing. I've never been able to go through Mother's Day without crying a bit, without emotions. I'm an emotional person to begin with, but always been a little emotional. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah didn't have a very pleasant ministry. He was a servant of God. He was a prophet. He was sent to tell people what God said. And the message that he was particularly sent to preach was not the gospel as much as it was judgment. The people had forsaken God, had strayed from God, had disregarded the warnings of God, had begun to worship idols and turn from the living God. And so now they're beginning to suffer the consequence of those decisions. And it's serious. It is very serious. And so there is something referred to here in Jeremiah 31 that is actually happening in this day, but it also is a prophecy of something that's going to happen some 600 years later. So let's pick it up in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse number 15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel, and if I could just pause and mention, their C is missing there, not because it's an error in Scripture, simply another way that was used to spell the name Rachel. This is Rachel, the wife of Jacob that we're speaking of here. Rahel or Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. The southern tribes of Israel are going into Babylonian captivity. That means they're going to be enslaved by the king and the people of Babylon, taken away from their homeland. Some are going to die. The northern tribes of Israel are taken into Assyrian captivity. If you are a student of history, you will know that the Assyrian people were extremely violent and extremely cruel in the treatment of their enemies. Children are going to be ripped from the arms of their mothers even nursing babies, and dashed against stones, run through with swords. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because he's the one to whom all this devastation was revealed. And he weeps for Israel. But in this few short verses, there are four words that we want to think about for a moment in reference to a mother. And with the Lord's help, I trust it'll be an encouragement to you, Mom. First of all, I would note the word happiness. Happiness. Now, when you look at the particular verses, it's not readily evident there, but if you think about who the Lord is speaking, he's speaking about Rachel. We begin back in the book of Genesis knowing about Rachel. She is the daughter of Laban, and Jacob has come to Laban's house and is going to work for Laban, and Laban says, "What can I pay you? What can I give you for your service?" And Jacob's eye had seen Rachel, and he asked for Rachel's hand in marriage. He said, "I'll serve you for 7 years for Rachel." And so he did. He served for 7 years, and a wedding took place. But he didn't marry Rachel. He thought he married Rachel. He married Rachel's sister, Leah. He was deceived by Laban. So he worked another 7 years to get the hand of Rachel. So now Leah and Rachel are married to Jacob, and Leah begins to have children. She bears 4 sons to Jacob. And with her handmaids, or by her handmaids, 2 more sons are born to Jacob. Rachel, on the other hand, is barren. She's not bearing children, and she's watching her sister have boy after boy after boy. And her heart is heavy, as you can imagine, and she's troubled. But without going into all the details of the story, God opens her womb and blesses her and gives her a son. She calls his name Joseph. If you know anything about Joseph, Joseph becomes a deliverer of his people. Can you imagine the happiness? I mean, I've been around for birth. I've been attending the birth of all of my children. And it's a joyous occasion. Now, there is some pain and some tears that are associated with it. That's why it's called labor. You know, that's part of the curse. There is going to be sorrow and labor. And sorrow you're going to bring forth children. But the moment the child is born, it seems as if all of that is quickly forgotten. Does it not? Matter of fact, look at John chapter 16. These are the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John in chapter 16. Now, those who are mothers are looking at me saying, it's easy for you to say. It's not as easily forgotten as you think. But listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 21. A woman, when she's in travail, that means when she's in labor, has sorrow, but because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And then he makes application to the Christian. So I'm simply saying to you that associated with motherhood is happiness. Now, I'm not saying it's all happiness and roses, but I think you'd agree with me that there's a lot of happiness. When we watched those pictures a moment ago, so well put together on the video, there's a lot of smiles. There's a lot of happiness. And perhaps some of you were vicariously living through those pictures, some of the memories of the happiness associated with motherhood. I think for Rachel, it must have been extremely intense because she had watched her sister have children and growing uneasiness that she would never bring forth a son, never bring a man into the world, never have the joy of being a mother. And yet God gave her a son and she calls the name Joseph. Matter of fact, she's so happy that she exercises faith and she states on the occasion of his birth, she said, his name is going to be Joseph and God will yet give me a son. So maybe that God told her that, I don't know, but she believes it, and God in fact does give her another son. His name is Benjamin. So there was joy. There is happiness in being a mother, in being a part of the creating of life, as it were. There's something else I want you to think about now in this term of happiness. And it's been there all the time, but sometimes we just don't think. We're just too busy to think. The word mother. Mother. I'm going to divide it into one letter and five letters. M and other. Make no mistake about it, whether you're a mother or not, the secret of happiness in any human life is to focus on others. And indeed, a mother is one who God is equipped to do just that. She mentors others. She models for others. She ministers to others. And the joys of motherhood come from the other part, from being focused not on self, but on others. Would to God that we would learn that most of the miseries in our life are caused by ourself, by our selfishness, by wanting our way in our time, in our place, and in the way we want it, rather than focusing on life being a gift to give to others and to invest in others. The Bible declares in Psalm 127 and verse 3 that children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. There's something that God has given you and trusted you, and it's His reward to you. And therefore, there is joy to be had. So I'm focusing on happiness for the first word, that there is happiness in motherhood. And though there will be tears, and we'll get to that in a moment, there's much to rejoice in, much to smile about, much to be happy for. Matter of fact, the Bible says in that same Psalm, Psalm 127 verse 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Full of what? Full of children. They're a heritage from the Lord. They're His reward. And happy is the one that has a quiver full. Children, by the way, are bringers of great happiness. I've told you this before. But if I'm feeling particularly down and happen to be sitting in my office and I'm despairing or feeling a bit depressed or glum about circumstances or whatever's facing me, you know what I do? I go to YouTube or some place like that on the internet and find videos of children or infants. There are some marvelous ones on there. And I just listen to them laugh or listen to them talk to each other. And before you know it, I'm smiling and I'm laughing and I'm forgetting about my problems. There's a lot of happiness associated with mother, and it has to do with others and being focused on others and being entrusted with others. But there's a second word that's very prominent in this passage. Although for the sake of outline, I'm going to give it to you in alliterated form. It's called heartache. Heartache. What does it say here? This is the message of God. A voice was heard, a voice of lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Rachel was the mother, or considered the mother, of Israel. Now, some people would look at Sarah as being that. But because the nation of Israel is identified as the 12 tribes of Israel, that's the 12 sons of Jacob. Jacob is often then seen as the father of the nation of Israel. That's why Israel is referred to as Jacob. And Rachel was his wife and the mother of Joseph. And so Rachel is often regarded by the Jewish people as being the mother of Israel. And she's weeping, she's crying. It's because the people to whom Jeremiah is preaching are her children. They're her posterity. They're her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren. So here, Rachel is being used to represent one woman who knew what motherhood was about, but she's representative of all the mothers in Israel who are going to watch their children be carried away and their grandchildren into captivity if they survive, if they don't die at the hands of the enemy. They're going to be carried away into captivity and lose their homeland. And you can imagine what that does to a mother's heart. And so great is her sorrow that she refuses to be comforted. She cannot be comforted. No doubt others tried to comfort. Others tried to bring some consolation. But she refused to be comforted. This, I told you, is not just a record of what's happening in Jeremiah's day. It is a prophecy of what is to come 600 years later. Matthew and chapter number 2. Matthew chapter 2, we have the record of the birth, the record surrounding the birth of the Lord Jesus. And we read these words in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 17. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they were not. But let's go back to verse 16. Why? Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. King Herod was a selfish man and was preoccupied with holding on to the throne at any cost, and it was suggested to him that there was a king born to the Jews in Bethlehem. And the bottom line is, when he had no other recourse or option, he decided, I'll just take care of it. I can't find the specific boy. I'll just kill everyone, every child, every male child under the age of 2. You can imagine what that did in Bethlehem. You can imagine the weeping, the crying, the heartache, the heartbreak of mothers. There's heartache in being a mother because motherhood is associated with love, and love is always subject to hurt. Oh, with what price we pay for the glory of motherhood. The tears, the disappointments, the heartaches. Somebody said a child is something you carry in your womb for 9 months, in your arms for 3 years, but in your heart until you die. I need to take a moment and talk to Mom for just a minute. You live in a fallen world. You and I are fallen creatures. And your children are born with a sin nature. Make no mistake about it, there is a war that rages in the world between good and evil, between God and Satan. And Satan wants to control the lives of every individual. He wants to destroy their potential. He wants to destroy their soul. He wants to ruin them. And the world is under his sway. He is called or identified in Scripture at this current time as the prince of this world. He rules over the affairs of men, as it were. And the world operates according to the principles of Satan's murderous character. And on two occasions in Scripture we read where there was a murderous ruler who, to desperate to hold his throne against all odds, determines to slay mercilessly children. The first was in Egypt when the children of Israel were in bondage, captive in Egypt, and the king decided to try to keep them down by instructing all the midwives that whenever a baby boy was born, he was to be killed. He wasn't to survive. They were to kill them at birth. But there was a courageous mother who wouldn't allow that. Her name was Miriam, and her son was Moses. And he became a deliverer of God's people. But then there was Herod, in the occasion we just read. And these two kings represent this man, this individual, this created being called Lucifer or Satan, who is the arch enemy of God, who became a fallen angel because he decided he wanted the throne and he would take the throne of his creator at any cost. And having lost that battle, he comes to earth where God's, where his creator's creation and the crowning work of his creation live. And he tirelessly works to create confusion and chaos and to cause the creation to question the goodness of God. I'm telling you, mom and dad, don't be surprised when there is heartache in motherhood because there is a war going on and we have an enemy that has no scruples, that is merciless in his assault. We live in the land of the enemy. Notice again the statement of the Lord in verse 16 as he makes a promise, and we'll get to this in a moment, but he said, they shall come again from the land of the enemy. We are in enemy territory. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are lit up somewhere beyond the blue. Heaven's my home. That's where my Father lives. That's where his house is, and that's where I'm going to dwell. But I'm right now in a fallen world. I'm in the land of the enemy, a land characterized by rebellion, by addiction, by materialism, by sensuality, by idolatry, a world in which there is the heartache of miscarriage and stillbirth and divorce and the careless slaughter of children and innocent beings. I'm living in the land of the enemy, and there's going to be a heartache there. Rachel, the mothers who were represented by Rachel lived in a land where there was rebellion against the goodness of God and where people surrendered their freedom, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly, to a wicked and cruel enemy. I wish I could tell you that it was otherwise, but it's not. In the case of a mother, there is happiness, but there is also heartache. And if that's all I had to say to you, we might leave here unsatisfied. But I want to propose to you a third word. And that word is help. Help. Notice again the text. Thus saith the Lord. God has something to say. God has spoken. Are you listening? And the Bible says that the Lord is our helper. He is a very present help in time of need. And so the Lord, the help of every mother, shows up here. Many times in the pages of Scripture, we're confronted with a mother. And a personal visit from God Almighty on her behalf. I've often quoted to you one of my favorite examples, Hagar, the mother of Ishmael, being cast out from the house of Abraham. And she's out there grieving and weeping because her son is going to die and she's going to die and it's all turning out wrong. And all of a sudden she hears a voice from heaven. It's God. And he says, what aileth thee, Hagar? Matter of fact, this happened on two occasions in her life. And on one of those occasions, God said, I have heard the voice of the lad. I've heard the voice of your child. But here's what I want you to know. Mom, there's help for you. And your help is in God. God, the giver of life, and God, the keeper of life, and God, the one who's the God of circumstances. God knows the end from the beginning. And he says to her, listen, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. I've made some promises to you in the Word of God. Here's one. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you have sowed love and devotion and prayer and godliness in the life of your child, and God doesn't expect you to be perfect, there is no perfect human being. There is no one who doesn't make mistakes. But if you have tried and you have been conscientious as a mother and you've poured your heart and soul in that child, God makes a promise which can be claimed in the matter of money, but it can also be claimed in the matter of family. If you sow, you're going to reap. Now, the harvest always comes later than the sowing, but I'm trying to help you, Mom. There's help for you. The Lord has given His word. And if I can tell you, the video showed it well. I love that part. There was the mother with her Bible open while her child was sleeping, and she's praying. She's listening to the word of God. She's claiming the promises of God. God has made some promises. God has made some statements. Here's one, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But some of us would say, my experience, Pastor, teaches me otherwise. I did my best. We took him to Sunday school. We took him to church. We tried to set the right example. We tried to influence him with godly friends and godly education, Christian education, and they still went out. I know personally. But you know what God was saying there? And I hold it, and I'm holding God to it. If I invested and gave them the truth and put them in the company of the truth and the people of God, they will never, ever be able to escape that. The promise is not necessarily that in my lifetime they're going to come back to God. I'm not promising that your son, your daughter can be converted. But what I am telling you is that whatever you did, your work shall be rewarded. That's the promise of God. Rachel, dry your tears and know this, that I've seen your tears and I've observed your work and what you've done. I'm a faithful God and will never let it fall. And so that boy, that girl, that son, that daughter will never ever escape the memories of those truths. God will always be working on their heart. God will always be convicting them. God will always be drawing them back. And it may be after you're gone, and it may be in your grandchildren, that your work will be rewarded. But God makes a promise to you, your work will be rewarded. So enjoy the moments of happiness, and when you cry, wipe away the tears and hold on to the help of God, the promise of God that He makes, that your work shall be rewarded. I was thinking about the Lord Jesus and His mother, Mary. And you and I know that when He was on the cross, He looked down and saw her there, and He also saw one of His disciples, John. And He said, "Woman, behold your son. And son, behold thy mother." What was Jesus doing? Jesus was providing help for the mother. He knew what she was experiencing. He knew what she'd be going through in the days to come. He knew that she would need help. And so He asks John, He commissions John to help Mom. And by the way, can I add this? Every dad in this room, moms need help. They need help. Help them. Help them. Come to their aid. Work with them. And be alongside of them. Don't leave them to themselves. The Lord Jesus said, "Bear ye one another's burdens." Second Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. If I could encourage you to know a verse by heart where you could recollect it at any moment, there are a lot of them that I would love to get you to do, but here's one that to me is extremely important. These are words spoken by a seer, which is an old way of saying a prophet, a man of God. And he speaks them to a king. But he's not speaking on his own behalf. He's speaking for God. 2 Chronicles 16:9. And he says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." You got that picture in your mind? God is looking for something. God is searching. God is watching. And there's nothing that escapes His attention. "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong." He's not looking for strong people. He's looking to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. Mom, God is your helper. He sees your tears. He knows your heart. He knows your compassion. He knows your intent. And while there might be heartache, never forget you have a helper. And he's always watching. He's always observing. And not because he's looking for you to be strong, but because he's looking for you to have a heart that's perfect toward him so that he can show himself strong on your behalf. Now, what does it mean to have a heart perfect toward him? Well, these words were spoken to the king on the occasion when he went to battle. Instead of calling on God and trusting God, he went to the Syrians and he relied on the Syrians for their help. And God said, because you did that, I'm going to leave you alone. But he reminds him that one time he faced a great host of people, the Ethiopians and the Lubims, and he said, were they not a great host and a great army? And yet I delivered you because you trusted in me. In other words, all he did was believe in God and have faith in God. And instead of going out to war against that enemy, he said, God, I can't do it. We can't do it. We need you. And they trusted in God. And so, Mom, God is looking for you to do the same thing. Instead of looking to child psychologists and to sources in the world to help you cope with motherhood, you need to do what God has put in your heart and what God instructs in his word. And then you need to bow before God and acknowledge your need and say, God, if it's going to happen, you have to do it. And God is waiting for that. God's looking for that. He wants to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him, which means they're trusting him. I love the promise here. Thy work shall be rewarded. They shall come again. Though they're carried away by the enemy, though they're taken captive in addictions and all kinds of other problems, they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And twice he makes that statement. And then he says in verse 17, there is hope in thine end. And we come to word number 4. We've talked about the happiness of a mother, the heartache of a mother, the help of a mother, and now the hope of a mother. There is hope in thine end. The Bible suggests to us and then clearly portrays to us in example after example that hope is always found in God. And if you are without God, the Bible says, you are without hope in this world. But if you know the living God and you serve the living God, and Rachel did, and God is speaking directly to her and said, there is hope in thine end. Hope of a reward. He said, your work shall be rewarded. Hope of restoration. They shall come again from the land of the enemy. Hope of reunion. The suggestion being that your children will return and you'll be reunited. And while in this life, Rachel would not see those children, or the mothers represented by Rachel would not see those children come back. In fact, God does bring them back from captivity and brings them into the land. And you and I are living witnesses that the nation of Israel, once dispersed among the nations, is now reborn again. And the Jewish people are gathering back at home like God said they would. And there's going to be a reunion one day for those who are believers. They're going to see their children again one day in heaven. There's going to be a reunion. I'm just simply trying to say to you, Mom, as long as God is on the throne, as long as God lives, there is hope. He is your help and he is your hope. And you are never without hope if you have God, because with God, all things are possible. With men, things are impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. The land of the enemy. You know what the Bible calls an enemy? Death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And your children shall come again from the land of the enemy. It may be after you die and it may be after they die, but you can see them again. There can be a glad reunion. That's our hope. That's why it's called a blessed hope. Well, Mom, a lot of happiness in being a mother. There's going to be some heartache. But I challenge you to be like a Miriam. I challenge you to be like Mary, hearken to the voice of God. And God may use you to be the preserver of one child in the midst of a world that's destroying the lives of children, and that child one day be the deliverer of his people. This story in the book of Matthew, where Herod's killing all the kids, God had warned Joseph and Mary to take Jesus and go to Egypt, and they did. So one boy survived that massacre. And that one boy, he still died a horrible death, but he died a horrible death for the sins of mankind so that we could be saved. So Mom, I hope I've encouraged you or helped you today. God wants you to know, though your name be not Rachel, He is no respecter of persons. He sees, He hears your voice, He hears your weeping. He knows your joys, He knows your sorrows, and He says to you, I'm your help. And as long as I'm your help, there is hope. And I'm not going anywhere. So believe. Believe and trust me. I'm giving you a promise. Your work will be rewarded. And they will come again. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed.